and thank you for joining us for another episode of Cholangio Heroes, a video podcast produced by the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. I'm Jennifer Weaver. I'll be the host for this episode. And joining me today is Lynette McMahon. Hi. Lynette has been in... I just wanted to let people know that you've been such a strong advocate for the foundation. And most recently, you were interviewed by CBS Morning News. So I thought I would give you the opportunity to talk about how that came about and why you felt it important to do something on the national scene with CBS.
Well, I discovered the foundation after, it was late 2018. So I did 2019 and 2020, those virtual conferences. And it was at the 2019 conference that I went into a little vendor room and I discovered Citizen, and I was very intrigued. My husband and I are big believers that you should own your own information on whatever form that might be. So I talked to him and I got signed up, and it really came in handy. I mean, I was seeing different doctors, so that, you know, they aren't all on the same system, and just made me feel good that if I had to go see somebody else, all that information was there. Plus, it helps with research. And they're the ones who helped me find a clinical trial as well, based on my information. So that was my introduction to Citizen, and they've just been wonderful over there. I've really enjoyed working with them, and I can't sing their praises enough, encourage more people to go sign up with them.
Well, and I'm happy to hear that you were connected to them through the foundation, because we were one of their very first partners. Yes. I think we've been partnering now with Citizen for the last 3 years. And can you tell me a little bit about your diagnosis and where you're at now?
Sure. I was diagnosed in October 2018. I was in the condiment aisle of the grocery store. My doctor called me and said, it's cancer. And so after a biopsy, we determined it was cholangiocarcinoma. And so the first year was 32 sessions of GemSys. But it also included a trip to Ireland and England, which my husband and I planned on. Got to keep living. And then 2020 was... Y90 internal radiation, and that was good for a year. And then I started the clinical trial at UCLA, mm-hmm. and that lasted 7 months. And then I had some progression. So I'm currently on FOLFOX. I'm going to be about ready to wrap that up. So I'm stage four, but I feel pretty good. I mean, chemo, you know, nausea, fatigue is probably the biggest issue for me, but you know, overall, I feel pretty good. And so I'm blessed with a wonderful husband and supportive family and friends, and just going to keep plugging away at what other opportunities there are to keep this at bay.
Well, I actually like that you said, hey, you got to keep living. You went to Ireland.
Yeah.
What was special about Ireland?
Oh, my husband's Irish, and we had both gone, but separately. He went one time with his mom. I went one time with his mom. And we met family over there, and the family's been over here. And we kept talking, someday we've got to go together someday. So when I got my diagnosis, my husband said, that's it, we're going. So I managed to talk him into also spending a week in England, where my family's from, there in Norway. I keep teasing him that my family kept invading his family, but between the Vikings and the English. But we had just a wonderful time, visited with family, and just Ireland is such a special place. It was definitely a wonderful, wonderful trip.
I'm glad to hear that. There was something else also that you said, not only in regards to continuing to just keep living. You know, we at the foundation tell everybody you're a survivor at the day of diagnosis. You're in survivorship. And having a positive mental attitude really helps you when you're dealing with chemo and other treatments. But you said something earlier that impressed upon me of owning your own information. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think there's so much information about us out there. I mean, there's all the medical information, but there's all the financial and everything else. And my husband and I really believe that you should own your information and be able to share it with who you want to, or not share it as you don't want to. So when I heard about Citizen, it was just, this is a natural fit. The fact that one, it's free to patients, so there's no charge. They have been very supportive and very helpful in getting records uploaded, or, you know, if I send them things, they get those updated. And then that information can then go to researchers and they can help track it. And hopefully they will be able to come up with some things, and they matched me up with a clinical trial. So blessings all around.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the foundation actually has a patient registry, and that patient registry is in connection with Citizen. Mm-hmm. So people can go to our website and find the International Cholangiocarcinoma Patient Registry. The web address is cholangiocarcinoma.org/ICPR. And there you can register just with a click of a button, and it takes you to Citizen. Yeah. And so I want to ask you what your experience was. How difficult was it for you to work with Citizen to get your medical and health records?
It wasn't hard on their part on working with them mm-hmm. at all. I've been working with Mikkel Bunch for since I first started. And mm-hmm. she has just been a sweetheart and so patient with me when I go, I got new information. Why isn't it showing up? But then they reach out to the different doctors. I'll say, okay, I had a hospital stay here, or I'm seeing this doctor, or I've had scans here. And then they will then go reach out. And sometimes I have to send in, permission, but they do a lot of the footwork. There's obviously a lot of information I have that I receive that I can send up digitally and upload myself. But I mean, even imaging from my scans, I've been lucky that I've been with UCLA since day one. Mm-hmm. And so their tumor board has seen all my scans to date. So there's that constant continuity. But if, I end up with another clinical trial or something, all that information, not just the scan reports, but the actual images are there if another doctor wants to take a look at them.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are definitely some of the benefits, but, I think maybe the hesitation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like patients are afraid that if I give all of my information, that it's going to be accessible and that you don't have control.
It's handed over to researchers. It's scrub mm-hmm. free of any personal information. So they just know female, 65, this is her diagnosis. And here's, biomarkers. Here's all her history. Here's the treatments she's had. So no, they are very, very careful. And I feel very confident in their processes, that they are keeping this mm-hmm. safe, that it's not just being spread out there all over the place. And then you have the ability to create, either share a specific document or send a link, a URL to a doctor's office, and they can access everything.
Mm-hmm.
I joke.
It's probably really helpful as they're guiding you through your treatment.
Oh yeah. Well, I had to change oncologists in January, which after 3.5 years was a scary proposition, not knowing what I was going to do. And they weren't on the same system as my other doctor, who was closing his practice. But anyway, so they said, well, we need your records before we can schedule an appointment. And I said, well, here's a URL. And she goes, oh, we can't do that. You'd have to fax them in or bring them in. And I went, really? So I talked to Citizen, and then I called City of Hope and found the director of information and said, this really kind of sucks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information here. And he goes, well, actually, we are working on some things. I'm familiar with Citizen. So we got them talking. But I finally went into my husband. I shared everything with him, and he just started printing things out one night at work. So 5 reams of paper later, I go in with my little rolling bag to the doctor's office, and I said, I'm here with my record. She goes, okay. So I put the, and I've got them bundled by doctor or agency. And so I'm start putting these things. So there's this huge pot, and she's just looking at it. She goes, I don't know if we need all this. I said, well, it's all there. Whatever you don't need, shred. Mm-hmm. Here's all the stuff that you requested. Now I need my appointment. And she booked me right then and there. And even my oncologist was laughing about it. He goes, yeah, you were the talk of the office for a week about coming in with all those records. I said, it's ridiculous. And he goes, I agree. You shouldn't have mm-hmm. to come in. And he goes, and we're still on fax machines? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that you brought the attention to this, because this video podcast is on Frontliners TV. And so I'm hoping physicians will take note that, faxes is kind of antiquated now, and there is a technology there where there's a URL link, and it has a patient's entire health records, all of their history. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we are in an advanced technology, fast moving landscape with cancer, particularly cholangiocarcinoma. Mm-hmm. And having the partnerships with physicians is really important to the, like you said, continuity in your care, especially when you had to switch oncologists. So I'm really grateful that you brought that up. I knew obviously that the patient registry is pretty secure, but I have wondered if patients are just a little bit nervous. So I'm glad that you, yeah, in your personal experience, didn't have an issue.
Yeah. And recently Citizen brought on board, and I can't think of her name right now, but she used to work for the government in HIPAA. So HIPAA compliance, so that she's now there. So she's helping oversee that. And as well as helping, because some of the HIPAA things need to be rewritten, because I understand the purpose of them, but if the only way I can send you information due to HIPAA is by fax, then that's wrong. So
right,
there's some changes that need to be made in those regulations. So I was very encouraged that Citizen was being proactive in that area as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, you know, we have talked a little bit about the patient registry as far as the Citizen goes, but with what the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation offers is the surveys. We like to, you know, put out some lifestyle surveys out there. And the reason why, as you even mentioned it, it's de-identified. All that's known is you're a female, what your age is, but it's really important for researchers so that they can kind of look at what your grandmother's history is, and maybe your mother's history, your father's, and if there was any pre-existing conditions, and all of that is done by survey. What was your experience taking those surveys?
Very straightforward, and it didn't take long. You know, the initial ones didn't take long. I imagine there'll be others as we move along that'll pop up. But no, I think that's good about sharing the information. It's kind of like paying it forward. It may not help me, but it's going to help somebody else down the line through research and through doctors that can make a difference.
Right. And that's the other thing, is the benefits that you get out of it. You've talked about with your treatment and your care with registering for the patient registry, but it's your contribution back to researchers and scientists who are working diligently to not only find treatment options, but they're working towards a cure. That's what we are all hoping for. And so it's quite a legacy that you are contributing to and leaving as well, you know. And so I want to thank you for, you know, making us aware, and all patients, whatever medical condition that you have, that you can have that empowerment over your care. And that's something that you've done. And I was wondering, how burdensome was that for you? And like you said, you had a supportive husband, but
yeah,
you know, how burdensome was that for you? Would you have been able to still advocate for yourself if you were by yourself? What would you tell a patient who may be in that situation?
They're by themselves. Cause my husband, it's wonderful to have somebody with you, because when you're listening to the doctor, you're not always hearing everything. So to have somebody else there who's taking notes, and don't forget, I go in with my questions, or concerns, but you know, they'll say one thing and my mind starts going off on that, and I miss the next two things they say. So having my husband there to do that. And then unfortunately, my best friend was diagnosed with uterine cancer last summer. She's cancer-free right now, so that's good. But, you know, I shared the lessons that I've learned, and we had what we called, you know, three good friends of hers, because she's single and doesn't have any family. So she, you know, except for us. So we were there to help advocate and talk to the doctors, and we had permission to do that and help her navigate all that. So to have somebody, whether it's family or friends, to help you guide you through that and make sure that you don't miss something that the doctor's saying is, I think, very important. And if you're on your own, then I would just say, I have my little medical journal, and it's okay. I've got my appointment. Here's the questions I want to ask. Here's my concerns, and then writing everything down, and saying, and having to repeat it or spell a medication or whatever it might be, so that I have a record of what the conversations were. And sometimes a week later, I'll send a message to the doctor and go, you said this, what does that mean? You know, I did a little research. Does that mean this? So, you have to stand up for yourself, and it's really helpful if you have somebody who stands there with you to support you. But you can't let the doctors just tell you what to do. You have to question, you have to get a second opinion. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning doctors and saying, well, I've heard about this. Would this be applicable to me? And they can explain to you why it is or isn't. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like the drug commercials you see on TV. Not everything's going to be applicable to everybody.
Yeah.
Some of the side effects may not be good for you. So, but again, it's just educating yourself and just not being afraid to ask questions and to question things.
Yeah, I actually am appreciative of those tips giving people. We actually at the foundation are also a resource. We have a program called Calangio Connect. So if you're on your own, you can actually apply to get a mentor, and you're connected with somebody who has been in your shoes or actually may have been out of your shoes now, who can give you guidance. So you can get connected to our Calangio Connect program. And if you're actually in a good position, you can become a mentor and help somebody else who may be alone. But I really like the journal idea of writing that down. I know that on my smartphone, I can record conversations. And I think that's okay too. As long as the doctors are okay with it, if you can use your smartphone for your advantage and benefit, I definitely say take pictures, record everything. You can go back to it later.
Well, I definitely have things on my smartphone, you know, all my doctor's information, you know, I've got my little OneNote that's got all my doctor's contact information, all my current medication and my current, you know, and major medical issues, you know, when I started chemo and things like that. So yeah, whatever tools you need to use, I just happen to like the journal, and then I can just kind of write my feelings and close the book and walk away. But yeah. And the Calangio Connect is great. I have a mentor and he's been very supportive, and I've just signed up, and hopefully I'll be able to be a mentor for someone else because we're in this together. And I've met some wonderful people through the Zoom calls that we have monthly, to the web, you know, the Facebook group and meeting at the conference. And we're all there for each other. It's a very supportive community.
And that's actually a great avenue to kind of end on, that you're not alone. We, you know, especially at the foundation, we offer support groups. We have those meetings, as you mentioned. We have the annual conference. We have the Facebook page that I believe everybody loves. And that is a page that's just for patients, just to connect to one another. So thank you so much for this opportunity to meet you and to share your story.
Yeah.
We're so glad to have you. So everyone listening, please check us out at cholangiocarcinoma.org. If cholangiocarcinoma is a little, you know, hard to spell and it's hard to say, you can also find us at curecc.org. That'll also get you right to us. It's a little bit easier. Again, curecc.org. If you're wondering what kind of questions to ask your doctor, ask your doctor. We actually have a checklist on our website as well. So we supply you with resources so that you can be empowered to take care of your treatment in partnership with your medical team. Thank you again, Lynette. Thank you all listeners and viewers. Please join us next week for another episode of Calangio Heroes.
Thank you, Jennifer.